Well, welcome to another episode of WA This Week. First of all, I'd like to talk about cost of living pressures on people, families in Western Australia. You would have noticed that we really have inflation starting to take off in the state now, obviously due to a number of things. We've had supply constraints because of a number of issues and the ongoing impacts of COVID around the world. But energy prices increasing due to the conflict in Ukraine and the horrendous invasion of Ukraine by Russia has really disrupted global energy supplies. And that has led to much higher oil prices, and that's flowed on to higher prices at the pump when you're filling up your car. But of course, it's affected all of the suppliers, supplying fruit and vegetables and any other good, to supermarkets, and then more generally, the saying that truck drivers like to say is that Australia's carried on the back of the truck. And look, it's largely true. We overwhelmingly depend on trucks to deliver goods in pretty well everything we do. And so the higher fuel prices are having a real impact. And that means houses are really suffering. Look, for some people, that's not an issue. It might be frustrating, but they have adequate capacity. But there are an increasingly large number of people, who are really struggling. They're making the most awful choices. They're making the choice between putting fuel in the car or buying food. Do they buy kids new school shoes because their shoes are too small? Or do they buy food? These are really tough choices that people are making. And what we've said to the McGowan government is, look, we know that some of these cost constraints are going to be temporary. Energy prices are likely to come down in the future, and that will reduce the cost of those goods. But right now, people need help. And we've been asking the McGowan government, what are you doing right now to help those struggling families? What cost relief are you providing for the families in Western Australia? Now, the Premier's just refused to offer anything up. He says he's waiting for the budget. Well, that's a month away. Meanwhile, families are having to make those choices today. There's a predicted surplus of anywhere between $6 and $8 billion just this financial year. So the government has ample capacity to provide that relief now. One of the things I've said to the government is look at targeted relief. The reality is that a millionaire living, in Cottesloe, they might be frustrated by price rises, but it's not really hurting them materially. But of course, there are people on low incomes, fixed incomes, people who work part-time. They're really struggling. One of the things I've made a point of is the cost of housing and the cost of rentals. The median rental price, which is $450 a week, that's equivalent to the full single pension with the top-up bonus. For people who are on those fixed incomes, pension incomes, and otherwise on low incomes, the cost of rentals has squeezed them enormously. They've gone up hugely in Western Australia. The rate of increase of rental accommodation in Western Australia, the rate of increase is almost double the average across Australia. So we're seeing a massive crunch here on the cost of accommodation. And I've had lots and lots of story into my office about the hardship that's causing for people. And as I say, especially those people who are on the lower incomes, the most terrible stories, single parents, single mums more often, with young children, they're losing their existing accommodation and they've got nowhere to go and they just cannot afford to pay those higher rentals. This is where the government needs to step in and help Western Australians right now with some relief. We'll look forward to the next budget and see what the government does. But we hope that they actually move right now. They can do it. They've got plenty of latitude. They don't have to lock in these things forever. Give relief now, because it's now that people are experiencing the hardship due to increased prices. We heard from the Premier this week that he believes he's going to extend the state of emergency past July. Now, the existing state of emergency, the legislation that's relevant to that, expires in July. And we're really sort of struggling to understand why the Premier needs to do this. In fact, under the Health Act, there are enormous powers that allow the government to do all sorts of things in relation to controlling the spread of a pandemic. In fact, it allows essentially it to be 80 or 90% of the additional powers that are allowed under the emergency legislation are already allowed under the Health Act. We can see no reason why the Premier needs to consider extending those additional emergency powers past July. We live in a free society. There are times when we give up those freedoms for the greater good. And clearly, when the pandemic was starting, no one knew, and literally no one knew, what the impact was going to be. Fortunately, the federal government moved very quickly to isolate Australia from the rest of Australia, and that saved us in large part from the dreadful outcomes you saw in Europe and North America. And then we saw the federal government form national cabinet and together with the state governments enacted a raft of measures to protect Australians from COVID. And overwhelmingly, I think you may have seen some of the information now with the federal election coming up, we're getting more. The government is promoting its credentials, but 260,000 more people in work now than before COVID struck. We have unemployment across Australia. We're heading below 4%. I mean, it's just remarkable. And whilst there are some particular businesses that are doing it tough, overwhelmingly, most businesses are better off. And certainly most people are better off in terms of employment. So that's a great outcome. But you don't need, you only have those emergency powers whilst the crisis is there. It's very clear that by July, it won't be there. I've said this before, we've congratulated the state government for its management during this process, during the COVID pandemic. But what I've also said is no one has gamed that crisis for political advantage more than Mark McGowan. And, I've been concerned on a number of occasions that announcements he's made are about keeping him in the press, not about protecting Western Australians from disease. And I don't think Mark McGowan can let go. This is his only political trick, and that is being the person who's strong against COVID. And that's played well for him politically. But we shouldn't allow freedoms to be given up on an ongoing basis. We should get back to a normal society. We don't need those emergency powers extended past July. And I'll be disappointed if the government attempts to do that. Just a couple of other issues that have come up during the week. One, I made some commentary on the continuation of the mask mandates. Now, it's very clear that masks have been a good weapon in preventing the spread of COVID, and that has helped make sure that we don't have an excessive number of COVID infections. But we are now entering a different phase of this pandemic. Now, in some areas, it's going to be appropriate to have masks on an ongoing, well, certainly for a considerable period of time. In aged care, for example, where you have a very vulnerable population, in hospitals where obviously you've got sick people and you don't want people coming in and spreading disease in those hospitals where people are already vulnerable, clearly it makes sense to have that mask mandate. However, what we've heard from the Australian Hotels Association and other businesses and hospitality businesses is they believe that the mask mandate is the principal reason keeping people away from going out to hospitality venues. And they're really suffering. If you talk, and I'm sure some of you know people who have hospitality venues, they're really struggling. And you'd also note, and I have mentioned this before, but you go into the hospital, you go into the hospitality venue, of course, once people sit down, in fact, they remove their masks in any case as soon as they've got a glass of water in front of them and they don't have them on. I've gone into venues and there's from what I've seen, most people there are not wearing masks for the duration of the time they're there. So, you know, if the masks are serving no useful purpose in those areas and, in fact, are continuing to harm business, then why have that mandate? And what I've said is, why doesn't the Premier urgently bring forward the review of where masks are required? And as I've said, there are some areas where it makes sense, but there are many areas now where masks are redundant, and where it's causing more harm than it's doing good, then you know, that mandate should be removed. And of course, people have the freedom to do what they like individually in wearing masks. I'm sure there'll be some people who will, you know, continue to wear masks when they go out for the next 1 or 2 years. That's their choice. You know, they have a right if they feel that is the right thing for them, then they'll be able to do that. So getting rid of masks mandate doesn't stop individuals wearing masks, but it just means you don't put a constraint on other people and discourage those people from going out and, you know, actually getting businesses back on their feet. There's a real risk. Whilst I said most of Western Australia has done, you know, relatively well economically during this period, people who are in hospitality, also people who rely on interstate and overseas tourists, there's still a huge risk of many of those businesses ceasing to operate. And that would be a tragedy in the longer term for our state. Another issue that I raised in Parliament this week, and this goes to the core of what good government is about, which is looking at things that are going to happen in the future and in the near future and making sure they don't. One of those things is gas supply. Now, AEMO is a group, the Australian Energy Market Operator. Every year they do a forecast of gas supply in the state. And their most recent publication, which they published at the end of last year, says that between the years of 2024 and 2027, Western Australia is going to suffer a gas shortage. Now, you'd think, how could this happen? I mean, Western Australia is, I think, the largest or second largest gas exporter in the world. And yet, our domestic gas supply is predicted to run short between 2024 and 2027. Now, you know, you're probably not going to run out of gas in your home, but what it means is that those industries, and there are many industries in the state that critically depend on gas for their energy supply, they're going to run out of, or not run out of gas totally, but their operations are going to be constrained, and they may have to, in fact, reduce output in their operations because they cannot get gas supply. Now, that's ridiculous. If we're the largest gas exporter in the world, then we should never, ever run short of domestic gas supply. You know, I asked Minister Johnson about this. He gave a waffling reply, talking about in 10 years' time and in 30 years' time. But the constraint is going to be between the end of 2024 to 2027. The minister needs to come forward with not just, you know, waffling and obfuscation. He needs to come forward and with a real plan to ensure that all of our industries in the state have adequate gas supply during that period. Look, lots of other things happening, but we can talk about those in the future. Thank you very much for listening this week. Really appreciate you doing that. Don't forget, you can subscribe to this as a podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. And you can also call up this video if you just look up Facebook at Dr. David Honey. You can do it as well. Share it with your friends and colleagues. And as I say every time, please give me your feedback. Really welcome that. And if there are topics you'd like me to discuss, then really happy for you to suggest those as well. Thank you very much.